We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we would like to invite you out to our services at any time that you get a chance to do that. We would love to meet you. Always a joy to meet listeners of the Refresh radio program, as well as to meet people who listen and attend our services. So if you do choose to visit, please introduce yourself. I'd love to get the opportunity to put a face with one of these flashing lights that I see here in the studio. So today we'd like to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. You know, it's only a matter of time before the warmer weather arrives here in Brevard County. And when that time comes, you may find that your air conditioning system needs some maintenance. Wyrick Air has been providing that type of service for heating. They've been doing that for the past few months, as well as air conditioning, as well as electrical issues. They've been doing it for approximately five decades. That means they've got a lot of experience. That means that they are well established here in the Brevard County. So you don't have to wonder if they're just going to pack up and move away, and there goes your warranty along with that. So they work in residential settings as well as light commercial settings. They even provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They're based in Rockledge, but they go all throughout Brevard County. Their license numbers are RA00-66854 and EC13002439. Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. We appreciate them being friends of the Refresh radio program. So today we are going to begin this topic of what does God want to teach us. We're talking about abiding and knowing and practicing and loving. And we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Because, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So, this chapter begins, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us? So let's ask that question. What manner of love is it? Well, it's a love that was poured out upon us even when we were his enemies. It's a love that said, I created you for my pleasure, and I want to reconcile you to myself. I want to restore that fractured relationship. It is a love that is undeserved. Where on Friday we were talking about that we don't want to be ashamed before him, we, with our sin nature, really injured the Father. Our behavior damaged our relationship with him, brought pain to the Father's heart. And the way to resolve that issue was he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to set us free from our sins. He bestowed that love on people who were hostile to him with the intent that we should be called the children of God. And the only way that that's possible is for us to be adopted into his family. And that's what God wants. So one of the things that I know, I know several people who have adopted children through foster care and other, you know, permanent adoption. I've known numbers of them through the years. And a lot of times those relationships are complicated. I'm not saying that they're not worth it. I'm saying that they're complicated because I know one family that they specifically adopted children who had traumatic physical challenges in their life. And so that creates a very challenging environment. I know people who came from very damaged home backgrounds where there was trauma and abuse and things like that. And yet these people adopted these children into their lives. I know others who adopted children out of different cultures. And some of them, you know, some of these things cross realities. Some of them came from physically challenging and different cultures. And I will tell you that if you ever find yourself or find someone in those situations, pray for them. Because it's not a bad situation. It is probably the greatest picture of a parent-child relationship that we could have with God the Father. Because those children are not children by birth, they're children by choice. They are loved because the parent in those situations has chosen to sacrifice relationally and financially and emotionally and time-wise and effort-wise, and they are wanting to do the best for that child that they could possibly do. And that is a picture of the Father's love for us. The challenge in those types of relationships many times is that the children have come from such a traumatized background that if, you know, that they can bring that trauma along with them and treat their new parents the way that they thought of their old parents. The same way with people becoming believers in Jesus Christ. A lot of times, I mean, Mother's Day is coming up, and Mother's, you know, it's still, you know, a couple of months away, but a lot of people compare mothers with the Proverbs 31 woman, and a lot of ladies say, please don't talk to me about the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm so sick and tired of being compared to the Proverbs 31 woman. I understand. But understand this, when Father's Day comes, we men, as fathers, are compared with the Heavenly Father. And no matter how you feel about the Proverbs 31 woman, she's not nearly the standard that the perfect Heavenly Father is. That's the reality. The challenge is when we are living in a fallen world, dealing with people from a fallen, a sin nature in a fallen world, that the projection is that God the Father is thought of in terms of an inferior, damaged, earthly father. And so that can lead to a inclination towards God that is less than what it should be. So what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? It is an indescribable love. God sent his Son to forgive us our sins, to forgive us from the acts of our sins, the inclination to sin, and the penalty of our sin, and the shame of our sin. He did away with all of that so that we could be called God's children. Not out of embarrassment, but out of his unconditional love. What kind of love? I mean, what adjective could you use to describe that type of love? What a privilege, what a blessing to be redeemed from the deepest pit, to be redeemed from the most damaging lifestyle. And God says, that's my child. Think about that. A lot of people think that God is looking down on them and it's like just waiting to sentence them to an eternity of misery, and that's not the heart of God at all. The heart of God is to deliver us from evil, to deliver us from ungodliness, to deliver us from the things that were destroying us, and deliver us to himself, to his promises, to relationship with him, to understanding him, to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. And it ought to leave us with awe and wonder about how great the Father's love is for us. Now, when we become the children of God, it also changes the other dynamics of our life. And I will say this, being a child of God is a state of being. It's not something that you can ever do to deserve. It is completely and totally undeserved. But being a child of God reflects in the way that we live our life. So our lifestyle does not cause us to be the children of God. Being a child of God impacts our lifestyle. And so as we go through these things and look at them, it gives us indicators, not about our condition. Well, some of them will reflect whether we actually are or are not the child of God. But more, it indicates areas that we should allow God to prune out of our lives. So, unlike many modern homes where the children determine the standard of the home, God determines the environment, the atmosphere of being his children. It says in verse number 1, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world actually fights against God. It refuses to acknowledge him, has rejected the knowledge of him, and has intentionally removed the influence of God out of its realm. It has tried to demote God and tried to elevate itself. And it does not know him. So you can look at Romans chapter 1, and it says that they chose not to retain the knowledge of God. So it's not an accident. It's intentional. When people do not know God, and they have done so intentionally, they have rejected the knowledge of God and replaced that knowledge with their own behavior, their own standard of righteousness and standard of conduct. That failure to know him manifests itself in a failure to recognize others who are children of God. And so if you think being perfect would change the way that the world looks at you, I want to remind you that there was one perfect man who lived, and they hung him on a cross and killed him. His perfect righteousness and his perfect love angered them to such a great degree that they wanted to remove him intentionally, strategically, and they wanted to not only kill him, but they wanted to remove any, Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead because of what God had done in his life. The theology of the Sadducees that said, you know, there is no resurrection, there is no supernatural, there is no real God. They were more a social religious organization than they were a relational group of believers. And so Lazarus is there, and his very resurrection by Jesus was a testament that their theology was flawed. So there are many people who don't believe in miracles, and yet miracles are happening, and that very reality undermines their theology. And so the Sadducees, the chief priest, they wanted to remove Lazarus from the scene. And I will tell you that when you serve the one who is the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, that when he has determined that someone should live, they're going to live. They're going to live. Now, Lazarus did eventually die, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I will tell you, there are still people being impacted by what Jesus did in Lazarus' life. Thousands of years later, I want people to know that what God did in my life, that that testimony is so well known that it impacts people for as long as I can impact them. So the body of Christ, if we know him, we should also know the children of God around us. We should recognize that the grace of God that worked in our life is also working in the life of others. So it is not that we are looking for affirmation from the world. The one we're looking for affirmation from is God. But thank God that we get to be encouragers of one another in the body of Christ. So verse number 2. We're going to start on this. We probably will not get through with this. This is one of my favorite passages. It says, beloved. Okay, you can only be the beloved when you are loved by God. God is love, therefore there is no other source of authentic, genuine, biblical, godly love than God. You can't get it at the grocery store. You can't get it at the department store. You can't get it through online shopping. The only way to get that love is through God. It is the gift. It is the fruit that he manifests in our life. And our identity becomes like John, who, rather than telling people what his name was when he wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote of this of himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. What a great identifier. Now we are the children of God. It's that state of being. Okay? God loved us. We recognized him as God, recognized the price he paid to forgive us our sins and reconcile us to himself. And we said, that's the greatest offer I'm ever going to receive in my life. And said yes to accepting the delivery of his salvation in our life. Therefore, we are the loved by God. Now we are children of God. We are his kids. When God says you're his child, you're his child. If somebody tells me that I'm his child, and they don't have the credentials to be able to make that declaration, then just because they said it doesn't make it true. Just because I say it doesn't make it true. It needs to be the Spirit of God bearing witness with us that we are His children. We are the children of God. Listen to this. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. The way that God looks at us and the way that the world looks at us are two completely different perspectives. The world looks at us from the perspective of our failures. God looks at us through the potential that He knows that He is going to make the reality in us. So Gideon can be kneeling down in the wine press, threshing wheat out of fear, and God can send the angel of the Lord and call him a mighty man of valor. Was he a mighty man of valor at that point? No. He was wishy-washy. He was unstable. He needed to be reminded over and over and over again of who God was. He said, okay, God, I'm going to put out this fleece, and God did what he asked, and he said, okay, now we're going to reverse it because I still am not 100% sure, and so let's make it the opposite of what it was yesterday. And God answered that too. He still wasn't sure, so he has them go sneak down into the camp of the enemy, and he hears the enemy talking about that God was going to empower Gideon to have the victory. And he finally goes back and he says, I believe. God knew what he was going to make him. If we look at people's past, if we look at their present, and let that be the determining factor, we are always going to have a lower ceiling of what God could do in that person's life than what God believes. The house my wife and I live in, at some point in time, prior to us living there, they had done a renovation in one of the bathrooms. And they put a lower ceiling in there. And I said, why in the world did they ever do that? You know, and I've been in other situations where people lowered the ceiling. It's like, that's exactly the opposite of what you want to do. And in the one situation, you wanted to create more of a space. But this one, the bathroom that we had, they lowered the ceiling, and it's like, that's just weird. And then when we went to repair that area, we found out there was literally no strategic purpose for it at all. And so we came in and said, let's put the ceiling where it should have been in the first place. What if we looked at ourselves and said, God, you haven't revealed everything that you're going to make me into yet. You haven't revealed everything that Merit Assembly of God can be made into yet. You haven't revealed everything that Pastor Bob can be yet. As long as we know that it hasn't been revealed yet, we keep abiding in Him and looking to Him and listening to Him and saying, at any moment, a new breakthrough revelation could come in about the reality of who and what we are able to be and do in Christ. So several weeks ago, I was asked to pray for a pastor in the area, and I contacted my presbyter, and we went down and prayed for him. He was in the intensive care unit. And if you're ever in an intensive care unit, you get intensive care. You also get restricted visitors. You get restricted actions. A lot of times they have alarms on your bed that if you move, you know, signals them, hey, you know, that person is doing something that they're not physically capable of doing at this point in time, and the staff will come in running. It's not a place that you necessarily want to be, but, you know, sometimes it's a place that you need to be. And so as we were there and I was praying for this person, I encouraged them. I said this, you know, you may be exactly where you need to be in order to receive your next great sermon, your next great message, your next great revelation. I want to challenge you today. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be. It's not yet been revealed what I shall be. It's not yet been revealed what you shall be. But I tell you, that doesn't mean that it's not going to come. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. It means that we live every day with an expectation that God can make me more like him today than I was yesterday. That you can be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. That every day has the potential of knowing him better, of understanding how great his love is, not just for us, but for the lost. To know him in his character. And I will tell you that this is not optional. Knowing him, abiding in him, is absolutely essential. It has the power to transform us. So I just want to set this week off here with a little bit of a challenge, and that is, don't put a ceiling where God hasn't established it. Say, God, you can make me a better husband, or you can make a person a better wife. You can make them a better follower of Jesus. I pray for Pastor Bob. Pray that God makes me a better pastor. Every day we look for who Jesus is, that it will be revealed to us that we are capable of more than we've ever done or ever been before. The Merit Assembly of God, pray for us that we will be more than we've ever been before. Have a great Monday. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Then my